James Spencer, you're the Conservative candidate in the general election for the St Albans constituency. Welcome.
Hi, Nick.
Now, tell us a bit about you first, James. Where do you come from? What's your life history?
Well, I'm someone who's St Albans born and bred. I was born in Kenny Heath, and I lived there for the first three or so years of my life. I think we lived in a cottage directly backing onto the heath, and I think my parents were flooded one too many times, so we up sticks and moved to Jersey Farm, where we've been pretty much ever since. I went to Wheatfield School, where my mum was a teaching assistant there, and then after that I went to Sandringham and had a lovely time there. In terms of getting into politics, the first political office I held was actually as a Sandridge parish councillor. One of our good family friends is a former councillor, a lady called Lynn Bolton. She rang me up once and said, "James, you're 18, right? And you like politics, don't you?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "Well, we've got a vacancy on the parish council. Do you want to sit on it?" So that's how I got involved in politics. And so I was on that for a full term whilst I was studying at Nottingham University. And then after that, went into the world of work, and yes, just carried on my political career. Obviously, had the ambition to one day be an MP. But yes, I worked in London and served as a Westminster City Councillor for a full term, which was a fascinating experience, and rose up the ranks pretty quickly there until I was Cabinet Member for City Management, which was managing all the highways and the waste and recycling infrastructure for the City of Westminster, which was quite a big role. That's led me to this wonderful opportunity now of fulfilling a life's ambition of being a parliamentary candidate, and not just in any old city, but the city that I call home.
Excellent. So a local boy born and bred. There's a lot around in this election campaign about how difficult the financial circumstances the country finds itself in are. There's not much room for manoeuvre, is there? When you look at the Office for Budget Responsibilities projections, the various promises of the various parties, everybody's basically in the same situation, that it's questionable whether the promises that they're making can be paid for. How does that change?
I think you're absolutely right to say that we've been through the absolute ringer when it comes to public expenditure. I mean, we've had COVID, the furlough scheme, we have had the energy crisis brought around by the war in Ukraine, and the support that the government gave to homeowners. And look, in both situations, it was perfectly right that the government stepped in and acted in those situations. But as you said, they have put pressures on the public purse. Now, I'm a Conservative. I didn't get into politics to go around raising people's taxes. But the government had to take those difficult decisions to pay for those services that we provide to the British people. But because we took those difficult decisions, I think we're now in a position where we can start to bring taxes down. And I'm very pleased that when reading through the Conservative manifesto, it is fully funded. So we are able to take another 2p off employee national insurance. We are able to commit to abolishing the main rate of national insurance for those who are self-employed by the end of the next parliament. We are able to implement the triple lock plus because we have made those difficult decisions. And I really do worry about the possibility of a Labour government that coming in with their £38 billion of unfunded pledges, because people like Keir Starmer and Rachel Reeves, they're going to look at places like St Albans and the Home Counties with the dollar signs rolling in their eyes about how they can raid our pockets to pay for their...
Well, OK, but let's come back to your policies. So you're going to protect certain departments, their spending will rise, health and defence being two key ones, and they are a huge chunk of the government's spending, aren't they? So things like justice, where prisons are already full and in pretty disgraceful state, I think you'd agree, are going to have cuts, aren't they?
I wouldn't say they're necessarily going to have cuts. I think
they must. You can't make the arithmetic work otherwise.
Well, where we are planning on making the efficiencies is looking at the welfare budget, because there are still too many people on welfare, and it is quite clear that people are better working. So there is manoeuvre there. We're also going to crack down on tax evasion, tax avoidance, and we have a fully funded commitment to raise the money necessary that we need from that.
It's kind of odd though, isn't it, that a party that's been in power for 14 years has suddenly discovered a large pot of tax avoidance that it could have addressed quite some time ago. And in fact, you've cut HMRC's civil servant numbers, so the chances of them actually following up on any of that have got less and less over time.
Look, I think in terms of the argument that the Conservatives have been in power for 14 years, it hasn't been a clear sailing period of 14 years. There have been dealing with the legacy of the financial crisis that was left with us to start with, which pretty much took up the first parliament. Then we went into the whole the Brexit scenario and dealing with the fallout from that, to then go
But they were choices of your party. They weren't something... I'm sorry, but if you look at... Let's just take the last 2 years then. Have the number of civil servants in HMRC gone up or down?
I don't have those figures to hand at the moment, but what I would say is that, just going back to my previous point about we haven't had the easiest run. So going on, we had the Brexit fallout, then we went straight pretty much into COVID, and then into Russia's invasion of Ukraine. So the governments have been having to deal with the problems that have been facing it at the time. And so now, because we've taken all those difficult decisions, we're in a position where we can start to say, OK, this is what we're going to do.
OK, let's assume for a moment that you are going to be able to find this pot of money from tax avoidance. How then does the rest of the money come about? There's a lot of talk about driving growth, so let's get local about it. What have you identified locally? What are the businesses that you want to see support for, changes to regulation and so on, that will drive growth here?
Well, I think that's twofold. One of the things that I've seen get worse in St Albans over the last 5-6 years is our market, our historic charter market. I can remember growing up, it wasn't just a novelty. We did the vast majority of our shopping there. We got our pet food there. We got our week's vegetables there. We got meat. In fact, my parents still get their blinds at the market. So I'm really dismayed about how footfall really hasn't come back after the pandemic and how the council haven't supported it. Now, there is a large pot of money in Levelling Up Fund, I think something about £850 million for high streets. And if elected, one of my key priorities is to get some proper funding, proper national funding into our market to drive footfall, but to also to improve the actual infrastructure that we've got there. I mean, I was completely dismayed when I found out that the Lib Dem Council had sold our heritage market assets for less than the price of a second-hand car. I mean, these are the sort of things that make our market special. And the other
So bringing footfall back to the market, you've criticised what the Liberal Democrats have done. What would you do?
Well, I think the first thing we would do is get some proper funding into the market, because at the moment, I think the situation is that people just want it to wipe its face financially. It needs some capital investment so that we can actually expand and be creative with what the market can do and provide for people. But the other thing supporting local businesses really is taking a grip on city centre parking fees. Now, I know this is as a council issue, but there needs to be a way that we can stop the exponential increase of parking fees going up year on year in the city centre, because it is driving people away.
How do you do that when the government is cutting funding to local councils? The local council has very few sources of of income that don't head towards Westminster, and less comes back from Westminster. So how is it possible to reduce parking fees and have a council that can provide services?
Well, I think in terms of the amount of money that comes from government, yes, there are pressures on that money, but the government isn't controlling where that money is being spent. And locally, we've seen the council being completely reckless in where they've been spending their money. I mean, look at the Jubilee Square development, a reported 100.
Let's come away from attacking other parties. I'm interested in your plans. You've said you would reduce car parking. Now, one of the factors affecting all retailers in the city, including probably the market, is the rise of online shopping, of course, and major chains. So, for example, Starbucks paid £7.2 million corporation tax on turnover of £548 million. They paid over £40 million in license payments to the USA. You'll know Cafe Roma in St. Peter's Street. They can't do that kind of thing, can they? Amazon paid no UK corporation tax in 2022, despite having pre-tax profits of £222 million. So the growth is going to places, but it's going outside of the UK, isn't it? And that is because of the tax policies that the Conservative government have adopted.
Look, I don't think that's necessarily the case. I mean, we're committed to reducing business tax, and which will be a complete a boon for the high street. But you make
the
point.
But that means less revenue for local councils, doesn't it?
Not necessarily, because councils only take a tiny proportion of business rates. The majority of it goes to national government. But what I would say about your point about online shopping, and this is something that we saw very much when I was a councillor in Westminster, we need to make the high street more of a destination than it is. And people's shopping habits are changing. And we need to think about ways that to encourage people to come out to the high street. And whether or not that is creating things for people to go to, for people to see, thinking about mixed uses for large retail spaces as well. These are all things that we've got to consider about changing the way that people shop.
Do you think the numbers that I gave you about corporation tax avoidance, it's not evasion, it's perfectly legal, do you think that's right?
Look, I want to see a tax system that is fair for everyone in this country.
Well, it's not fair for Cafe Roma today, is it?
Well, no, it's not fair, and I would seek to change it. I really would. We've got to find a system whereby those corporations that are paying the most pay their fair share. But that is an international decision that's got to be taken with our international partners.
But no progress at all has been made on that over the last 14 years.
Well, I'm very much looking to the future. I'm running to be the MP for the city that I call home. Right.
Okay. And so let's come on a bit further onto growth. So, for instance, the building industry is one where early growth would be possible. A lot of people who work in the building industry are part-time self-employed. There's employment capacity there. It would drive wages up and therefore tax take, and that would mean that perhaps there was more money for things like revitalising the high street. So are you in favour of building large numbers of homes in the constituency? Because the government target is that we have to do that.
Well, I am very much against top-down government-led targets when it comes to house building, because I think what we've got to do is we've got to focus on housing need versus housing demand. Now, the actual housing need in St Albans is relatively low, based on the people who we have to home for, who actually need a house. Housing demand is a very different figure, and for too long, those two figures have been conflated. And property developers, they look at our precious green belt around St Albans, and they just see opportunities to make a quick buck. Now, as someone who grew up in Coney Heath and Jersey Farm, I've lived alongside the Greenbelt my entire life. And I've seen too much of it eroded away in St Albans over my relatively short lifetime. And so I support the government's plan to build houses on brownfield sites around the 20 biggest cities in the country. But St Albans isn't one of them. And we need to protect our Greenbelt in St Albans. So if I'm elected, I am going to campaign against building on our Greenbelt. I'm going to support measures which get rid of any top-down housing targets. I'm going to support measures to sort of reevaluate what housing need is, because I think we're going on out-of-date data. And I would also, in a lobby, and if necessary, put forward private members' bill to put a ring of steel around London and update the town and country, the Metropolitan Town and Country Planning Act. Because I think over the, 40, 50 years that's been in place, that's been slowly eroded as well. Because St Albans is not another borough of London, and we should push back strongly against any policies which just increase development, which will make us just another suburb of the capital.
Okay. Need versus demand. So how would you deal with that? The demand is greater than the need. So presumably that means rationing the number of houses that are built because you don't want too much building in the area. And that therefore means determining whether somebody can buy a house based on whether they need it or not. How does that work?
Well, it's about capacity in the local area. Look, there are only so many number of schools.
No, I understand that. I'm just wondering how you're going to stop people wanting the houses. What's going to happen if you throttle supply? You're a free market economist, I assume, given that you are a candidate for the Conservative Party. If you throttle supply, what happens to prices?
Well, you could build 100,000 homes in St Albans and it's not going to really affect the average house price. I mean, people want to come to St Albans because we've got fantastic schools and we're a brilliant location from to commute into London. That is the reality of the situation. And so that is not going to change. And what we risk then is just completely losing our precious green spaces all over the city to fulfil people's desire to live in St Albans. Now, I know for a fact, having been a councillor in London, there is plenty of brownfield in London which is still underdeveloped. They have various London councils and the Mayor of London haven't really got a grip on questions about density building in London. So there is capacity to build in the capital and there is capacity around the country, around our 20 biggest cities, to fulfil that demand. What I'm saying is that in places like St Albans, in places around the home counties, where we have precious little green belt left, we should be protecting it.
All right, thank you. James, finally, just a slightly odd question, but if you win on July the 4th, is there a particular piece of music or song you're going to be dancing around the kitchen to?
Oh, absolutely. I am a huge Kate Bush fan, Nick, so it'll have to be running up that hill for me.
Excellent. And will it feel like running up the hill if you do get elected on the 4th? How will you feel?
I mean, I was selected last September and me and a small band of committed activists have been out pretty much every day knocking on doors and speaking to people. So the end is in sight now, and I definitely will be feeling rather elated and probably very tired at the same time.
James, thank you very much. And we all know that it is not an easy job being a candidate or indeed an MP. So thank you for stepping forward. That's James Spencer, Conservative candidate in the general election for the St Albans constituency. James, thank you very much.
Thanks, Nick.